And so tonight we're going to talk to you about what we believe about healing. I believe it can. Verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I think that's a promise, don't you? This church believes in the anointing of oil, with oil. We also believe in divine healing. If you don't believe those things, and this is your first time, I suggest you not come back. Or come to the altar and get saved and get anointed, and then you'll believe it. But like Calvary said many, many, many times, a lot of reasons why people don't believe in it is because they've never been sick enough. I think there's a few misconceptions about healing. Especially if you were to watch, just to take an 8-hour segment of religious programming, you'd be very, very confused on what divine healing is all about. And you'd be confused on how to get saved. I hate to be a sinner living in today's world, and the only thing you have to look after is religious programming. Because if you would just listen to a few of them, you'd be confused. You don't know where to turn. But I'm thankful Jesus plainly tells it in His Word. I want to look at and break it down this evening, look at some things about healing. A few weeks ago, a verse came to my mind, and I called Dr. Mines. And little did I know that I was preparing myself for this sermon. God has a way of doing that, doesn't He? And so I called Dr. Mines, and I asked him this simple question. I said, as a doctor, why do people come to you? I said, I don't think anything spiritual into it. Just tell me, why do they visit you? And so he listed about 15 things. The last one he mentioned, and I'll mention to you, I didn't find any scripture for, but he said because Dr. Mines was so good looking. Now, I don't know if that's in the Bible or not, but I thought I'd throw that in. So 14 of them were accurate. Yeah. He ain't here, is he? Is he here? He'll preach it, amen. He'll get the tape, I'm sure. But so I asked him, why do people come to you? And he gave me a list of things, and I'm going to interweave those with the text tonight. But first of all, I want to talk about the first reason why people go to a doctor is because they're sick. I mean, I know that's obvious, but the reason why they go is sick. But Jesus made this statement himself. And Matthew said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, I really don't care to go to doctors myself. I've been going to doctors most of my life for one reason, especially for 17 years now. That is for diabetes, and I have to go to the doctor. Every 3 months, I have to go. If I didn't go, I'd be very, very ill. And so I have to go to the doctor. I don't like to, but I have to. If I didn't have diabetes, unless emergency would arise, I probably wouldn't go. And some of you feel the very same way. You just don't like going to the doctor's office. Most of the time, you got to wait when you get there, wait when you get in the room, and then you're waiting to pay the bill. So the one reason why you go is because you're sick. So let's break it down to this. Why do people get sick in the first place? Simple enough question. Well, I have some reasons. First of all, they don't take care of self. Now, I want to be aware of some of this you might not agree with, and I'm preaching right here too, okay? But God has given us good common sense. And sometimes the reason we get sick is because we simply don't take care of ourselves. Elijah, back in the Old Testament, he got a threat from Jezebel. He ran for a day's journey and set up under a juniper tree. He was there and he was getting ready to leave again, and God wouldn't let him. He said, "You got to eat. You got to sleep." See, because sometimes the miracle is just in good common sense. If you're tired, would you go to bed? If you're hungry, would you please eat? I mean, sometimes we're sick because we wear ourselves down and our immune system gets bogged down because of the stress levels that we're under. And so that's one of the reasons why we get sick, because we don't take care of self. Secondly, sometimes we are sick because of the allowed sins in our lives. Throughout the Word of God, from the earliest times, God permitted sickness as a judgment to sin. Now, just because you're sick, does that mean you're a sinner? Absolutely not. But sometimes God allows sickness to happen to try to get you to see Him. So that's another reason. Number three, I think straying from the will of God will cause us to get sick. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Sometimes when we stray from the will of God, God has to get us to where we can see that we're straying from the will of God. And sometimes that means causing sickness to come in our lives. I don't know how many people I've heard made this statement: "I didn't realize where I was headed with God until He knocked me flat on my back." And you praise God that you were sick, because if you were never sick, you wouldn't have seen your condition, that you were straying from the will of God. So we get sick because of straying. Then sometimes we get sick because of the sovereignty of God. Sometimes, good people, you just get sick. Job was a perfect man, one who feared God, and the Bible says escheweth evil. But he suffered unbelievably because of the vindication of the righteousness of God. God allowed him to go through suffering just to show the devil, "Job's going to stick with me." So we ask ourselves this question. We know why people get sick now, so we ask ourselves this question: can God heal you? Well, I believe He can. Absolutely. But I also believe He uses different methods to heal. I believe He heals in one of three ways: either naturally, medically, or miraculously. Now, a lot of the focus and a lot of the confusion that might be from watching religious programming, and also just through the years, is sometimes we fail to think that God is healing people unless it is a supernatural occurrence. And sometimes people think you don't have God unless you're healed no other way but less a miraculous move of the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you tonight that every healing is divine healing. It just He chooses to do different ways. Throughout His Word, we read that God could heal anyone, anywhere, anytime, and any way He chose. No sickness was too difficult. No trouble was too involved. Jesus proved Himself to be the God of all healing. Jesus recorded 35 miracles. Of all those miracles, 67% involved healing. So he was concerned about the diseases and sicknesses of the people. Many diseases were difficult, many of them were involved, but we do not read of anywhere where there was any hard cases when it came to God healing somebody. Several occasions He healed entire communities and entire cities. You'll find that when He went to Samaria, they brought everyone, and everyone that came to Him was healed. Several occasions He did those things. But He didn't do it like in a wholesale, impersonal way. He did it individually. Now let me just stop right here and say that you'll find on some television programs that some man can just breathe on you and you'll be healed. I don't believe that, okay? I don't mean to fault anybody. What I'm saying, I don't believe that. Because I think the Bible specifically tells us about it. It was an individual. Jesus healed everybody individually. He even went down to smaller groups. There was a time when He healed just 10 lepers. But the greatest thing about Jesus' healing is that most of the time He healed people that were just ordinary, common people that had needs. They came to Him. We also read Christ took special interest in the healing of children. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. The widow of Nain's son was dead, and he raised him back to life. Also, the Syrophoenician woman went to Jesus and begged him that he would. She said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And Jesus called her a dog and said, "I can't do that because you're a Gentile." But she didn't give up. She went to him and said, "My daughter needs to be healed right now. Even the dogs deserve the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus marveled at her faith, and he healed her daughter because one woman was willing to go and risk everything just to get to Jesus. He had special concern for children. And the healing even continued after Jesus was gone. The healing even continued on through Bible history. It continued with the apostles, Peter and John, just to name an instance. There at the crippled man at the Gate Beautiful. Philip and Paul were both involved in miracles throughout the book of Acts. And you know what? Jesus still heals today. He said, he's the same to yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did all those miracles in the Word of God, in the New Testament, the Old Testament, and Philip and Paul and Peter and James and John, if he did all those miracles, he can still heal today. There's no difficult case. We have examples here tonight. Todd, would you tell us just a little bit about what God did for you?
You know, I was trying to think. Like you say, sometimes God heals people instantly, and sometimes He heals us by going through a process.
Right.
And I'm one of those people that have to go through the process. But I stand here healed tonight.
Amen.
There's no real good reason that my mother should have been my donor. Thousands of people die each year looking for a donor.
Bless you,
God. If you would look at my medical records, there's probably no good reason I should still be here.
Praise the Lord.
But God has touched me and brought me through that. You know, there's a lot to this miracle. There's truth be known, I should be bankrupt. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of bills that I would have never had any way of paying, but the Lord took care of me. I have a home over here that the Lord has provided. Truth be known, Angie and I would never have found one another if it wasn't for the Lord to have a home.
That's in Lord.
And we would never have the opportunity to have a child if it were not for the Lord.
That's right.
Because we'd given up doing what we thought was right, but you know, the Lord had another way of getting there.
That's right.
And this church is playing a big part in that. We started doing this. We don't have that kind of money to do the kinds of things that's happening, but the Lord's taking care of that too.
Amen.
And I have to thank Him and praise Him for what you all have done for us.
Amen.
But most of all, it's been the prayers of people that have prayed for one sick fellow.
Yeah.
And got me through that. And I'm thankful for His healing
tonight. Amen. He had to go through a process to get there. But is there any doubt that Todd's healed? No doubt. Billy? Stand, brother. You were healed just a little bit different manner, weren't you?
Six months to live, and all the facts left in the car. If they'll wait for the Lord's church, probably 5 years. Coming to the fourth, I went through and I kind of used that as an excuse to call away from the Lord. I was just seeking God. I was dying. I didn't know which way to turn. And I don't have to get up. Not too long ago, I didn't share with anyone. And I think it's very, very important. And the fact was that I went to 5 different churches. And I wasn't thinking healing. The only thing I was thinking was the Spirit of the living God.
Yes, sir.
To have compassion on me. And I'm like, when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm not here to death to go to hell.
Amen.
I also went out and bought church clothes. Said that she was so comfortable going to church. She wasn't seeking God either. She was just going because she had compassion on me and loved me. And she knew my condition that I was sick. And we went to different churches. And I'm not putting down any church. I'm just telling you that I went to 5 different churches and I could have walked into a bar. It felt just the same. And that's just being blunt honest with you. If you go to a church and you're going to a bunch of religious rituals and things, and the Holy Ghost is not there, the best thing you can do is run as far as you can. Because you're just playing a game.
Yes, sir.
That morning, it was a Sunday morning, and I told my sister, and at that time I had a grudge against my cousin. And I called her out, and it was about 6:30 in the morning. And I was sitting there playing chess on my computer. And I was smoking a cigarette. And I just started praying. I was like, Lord, I need help. I need help. I don't know where else to turn. And I put that cigarette out. And to this day, I'm not thinking of me. I can't even stomach the smell of a cigarette. My wife will verify that. I took that cigarette out. I wanted up that pack of cigarettes, and I took a minute and I threw them in the trash can. And to this day, I've never, ever had a craving. And that was before I came here, the same morning. And she says, Billy, she says, won't you go to Rubyville? She says, I heard some real good church. But you see, the Lord knew what he was doing that morning. Because every Sunday church, and every Sunday morning we went to a church, previously, they all started at 10 o'clock. And that morning, we got here at 10 o'clock, and this church starts at 9:30, and I ended up in a pew up in front at Holy Mary. And I made this pure fear come over top of us. That week, I think it was Dan Ashmore, escorted us up there and set us down. The choir was singing.
Yes.
I was home late. He was just a baby. Just a tad bit over a year old. And Clayton went to another Sunday school that morning with his lady, and we were sitting there, and I kept holding Blake as a witch. I just was holding between me and that altar, it's over there. And I kept asking me, and the tears started flowing. I mean, the power of God just come with the strong hand and go out the back door and bring the altar. And it was the obvious that I believe it was Janet Day come down and gave me a tissue. I believe it was her. But I was so I just can't explain it. But I went to that altar. And at no time during that time was I looking to be healed. Like I told you, I was just simply looking for repentance and looking for God to accept me back. And I come up a clean man off that altar.
Thank you, Lord.
And I just got done reading in Romans. I've been reading the hand of that thing.
All right.
Each time I get the opportunity, I just go on and mark off another day.
Sure. That's fine.
And I was reading, I believe it's Romans 4:17. And it says, if things as are they're not, but they are. Your eyes don't realize, your eyes don't see the reality. And I believe that I was healed that morning. It was just a process that I had to go through. Unlike not a physical process, I had to go through a spiritual process.
Right, yes, sir.
And God healed my body. And I went back to Cleveland Clinic, and they just could not believe it. And I thank the Lord for the that could verify what I had been going through. That I went when I went to Cleveland Clinic previously, what I went through. I was in so much pain, I couldn't even leave the hospital when they let me out. I ended up having to stay in the guest house that night because I couldn't even leave. And when I went out there on Wednesday, that was April the 14th, 94. If you look at your calendar, look back at your calendar, you'll see that that was a Wednesday. And I was telling Allison Webber, and Allison said, you know what, I hate about going up there. She says, I know why you don't want to go up there. Because she knew what I went through before. I said, no, Allison, I don't want to miss church tonight. And that's what was on my mind. Yeah. I don't want to miss church that Wednesday night, you know. We got up there. She was praying that I come out of there with no pain and they said I could go home. And I went in there and I had no cancer whatsoever. It was completely gone. Completely gone. I flew back down the highway, made it to church in time, and I was there to tell you today that I praise God that I'm here.
There's plenty more that can stand and say what they've been through, different ways, different times, different occurrences, but you're all healed. You're all healed. So the first reason you go to the doctor is because you're sick. Second reason you go to the doctor is because you have symptoms. Sometimes we know we're sick, don't exactly know what it is, and the symptoms are there. So how can you be healed of your symptoms? Well, how can you be healed in the first place? Well, of course, first of all, you've got to be sick to be healed. Acknowledge that you've done all you can do yourself. Acknowledge that you've done all the common sense things. And maybe the common sense was just to go to the doctor. And you've got to seek a higher authority. Many people, I think, do not have qualifications, try to diagnose themselves. And they continue to grow worse because they don't ask for help. You know, God will never consider healing you of your sickness until you ask Him. Mary and Martha was seeking Jesus on someone else's behalf. Their brother was sick. And in fact, the Bible says they sent for Jesus. So someone else went to Jesus on behalf of Mary and Martha because they were praying for their brother who was sick. Now Jesus came. The Bible says Jesus heard two or three places, but then He came. Now, we know when He got there, according to the sisters, He was late. Because if you wouldn't have been here, my brother would not have died. But see, He still came. And my point to you is, He would have never came unless they sent for Him. Did He know Lazarus was sick? Of course. Did He love Lazarus? Of course. But I don't believe He would have considered coming until Mary and Martha sent for Him. And see, you can whine in your self-pity all you want to, but you'll never be healed until you ask Him. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask God and you follow what the book of James says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, praying for them, anointing with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If you do all those things, then expect God to answer. Expect Him to. Now, the answer may not come the way you want it to be, but He will answer you. Sometimes the healing will come naturally. Sometimes some things over time will naturally take care of themselves. Like if I get a splinter in my finger, if I take that splinter out, if it's just a little flesh wound and it doesn't go down deep, over time that will naturally heal itself. Sometimes the healing comes medically. Now do you believe that that natural healing from that splinter restoring my finger was a divine healing of God? I believe it was. I'm going to thank God for it because He made these bodies in a way to know that when there's an infection in my body, the white blood cells will go to that infection and get rid of that infection naturally. Now that is a divine healing of God. Sometimes a divine healing comes medically. Is it a lack of faith for me to believe God that he can send me to a doctor who recognizes the problem that I have and has a cure for it. Is it a lack of my faith? I don't believe so. But you know, people, and I understand what they're saying, you know, the miracles of Jesus' day, and you know, we don't see a lot of eyes restored. We don't see a lot of withered hands brought back to life. We don't see the things that happened back in the old days. And at Beach Fork, we've got they've got a thing up there on their wall where people have come and were healed. They had crutches and back braces and leg braces and neck braces, and they were healed, and they walked out of the church without them, and they left them there just as a sign of memorial. Now, they haven't put up something there for a long, long time. Does that mean people weren't sick? Of course not. People were sick. But I think we're seeing a lot more miracles today than what we used to have. God is just doing it in a different way. He's doing it medically. God gives wisdom to doctors and scientists to be able to invent medicines that can help us. There may be a treatment of medicine that will take care of your sickness and you'll be fine. And my friends, that is still a divine healing from God. Amen. Amen. However, there are some things only God can take care of. There are some symptoms that only God can recognize that He's the only one that can heal. There are some situations that only God can take care of. And one of those situations is the symptoms of sin. Billy described to you in a detailed manner tonight how he was feeling. He was miserable. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. I believe every waking moment, whenever he was under conviction and realized that he was a sinner, realized that he was sick. And my friend, you'll never be saved until you realize that you are sick of sin. When you realize that you are a sinner, then the power of God can come upon you and convict you. And when that time comes, you cannot get saved anytime you want to, anywhere you want to, any way you want to. It'll be when God draws you to His altar. And when you realize that you are a sinner, then you can go to the great physician. Because you can't be healed unless you know you're sick. So you go to him because you're sick. You go to him, a doctor, because you have symptoms. And then you go to him because you need surgery. There are times when you have to go and undergo a surgical procedure. And that's the only way the doctors say that you can be fixed or be healed. Is that still divine healing? Yes, it is. And a lot of people will look at those things and say, well, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't have to do that. No, I've got enough faith that God can give smarts and wisdom to doctors that can able to heal me doing medical procedures. Now that still takes the same amount of faith, I believe. I'll give you an example here in just a few moments. There are some surgeries that when we have them, they leave nasty scars. I know Lonnie's been through a lot. Yeah. And he's got maps all over himself where the doctors have cut and sewn back together. But see, when Jesus performs surgery, He don't leave scars. This week, on this past Tuesday, I had to go to Chillicothe, and I had to have surgery on my mouth. Back in 89, I got hit with a baseball and knocked out a tooth, so I had to get a crown. It didn't bother me until last November. Got an abscess and infection, so I had to take the post out, put a new post in, new crown. Ching, ching for the dentist, you know. And so I saw the x-rays, the infection was there, and I had to go to a specialist in Chillicothe. So he said, we'll clean all this out. He said, but if the infection comes back, that means it's in your bone, and we're going to have to do surgery. I said, okay, well, I'll just trust that everything will be all right. So I prayed about it and didn't have no problem until about 3 weeks ago. Infection came back. My mouth was swollen again. It was the same tooth. Took the x-ray and it was eating away at my bone. It had formed a little hole. The infection was there. It was going into my other teeth. So I said, I got to do something about it. So God gave me common sense to know enough that I had to go to the doctor and get it done. So He said, well, we'll do it Tuesday morning. We won't put you under. We'll just give you a bunch of shots. Man, they did. My lip felt like I was a hot dog or something. I was numb, and it took about an hour, and they cut me and put about eight. I got eight stitches there tonight, about right there. And so I was fine and had Preached Wednesday night and Thursday night. Did just fine. And so, but this is what I want to get to you. I had to have surgery, okay? Now, if I never would have had surgery, I never would have found this out. I asked him. Now, it's always nice to know what they're going to do before they do it. I said, so what are you going to do to me, Doc? He said, well, said you got an infection in there. And that infection is eating away at your bone. And unless we get that and clean out that infection, it'll go into your other teeth and you'll lose all your teeth on the bottom there. If it isn't treated and taken care of. I said, okay. He said, now what will happen is when I take that infection out, where the hole is, blood will go back into that hole and it'll fill in with blood. And then where the blood is, new bone will form. And at this time, I was already tied down to the dentist chair, or I would have done a jump shout around that dentist office. I said, repeat that to me one more time. I said, so you're telling me that you'll get rid of the infection. And when the infection is gone, where the infection was, the blood will be there. And where the blood is, new bone will form. He said, exactly right. And I came out of there saying, praise the Lord, that's what kind of surgery Jesus did on my heart. Many years ago, there was an infection called sin in there, but thank God He applied His blood to it. It took out the infection, and where the blood was, new life was born. Hallelujah, glory to God. And that goes right along with Scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, old things are become new. That's the greatest healing you'll ever have in your life. You may battle with physical ailments, but bless God, if you get healed of your sin, you'll make it to heaven regardless of your crippled body. That's why Jesus was so concerned when He healed people that their sins were forgiven. Because He knew that if they weren't healed, a crippled body can't keep you out of heaven, but a crippled heart will. Amen. Now we have to realize, even though you may have surgery, even though God does save you, He may not choose to heal you. Why? I believe it's a number of reasons. Paul prayed 3 times that the Lord would remove the thorn from his flesh, the messenger of Satan that buffeted him. He prayed and asked God to remove it. But God didn't. He said, I'm not going to remove it. I'm just going to give you an added ingredient called grace. He said, my grace is sufficient. And through it all, even though he still had the infirmity, he could look at it and say, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes that's why God chooses not to heal. Because He knows if He heals you, you won't trust Him like you should. 13 years old, doctors diagnosed me with diabetes. Do I want to be healed from that? Absolutely. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. Checking your blood sugar 6-7 times a day, changing your pump. Don't you hate it, Marcia? For probably all the 100, 200 people in here, they hate it too. That's exactly. Don't get ahead of me, Marcia, okay? We're on the same labeling. But I hate it. I hate it. I prayed, Cal. When I was first diagnosed, they gathered around me, anointed me with oil. They prayed. Wasn't healed. I prayed and I prayed. There was even one time God felt so strong. And I was just young. I was a teenager. And we was at Southern Baptist. And they got all my family up there. And Mom and Dad were talking about me, how God was going to heal me. And when I went home the Sunday afternoon from when we were at my grandma and grandpa's house eating, and I said, Lord, I'm going to believe you. I even took it a step further. I threw away my needle. I said, I ain't going to take the insulin. Grandpa was crying. He said, Lord's going to do something for you, Brian, because you're taking a step of faith. I said, okay, Lord. Here it is. I want you to heal me. You know what happened Monday? I got sick. Sugar was up to 600. Now, I was upset. I mean, I felt the power of God. I thought, this is it. The Lord's going to heal me. And I'm going to be able to tell the whole world I was healed from diabetes. But he didn't do it. You see, sometimes when we go through sickness, we fail to see the miracle within the miracle. Do you want to know God's healing me? You know why the greatest miracle is? I have not been to the hospital one time in 17 years for diabetes. Now that's a miracle. Ida back there has been through cancer this seven times. Probably the first one should have killed her, Paul. But she's here. Is she healed yet? According to the doctors, no, it's still there. But God is getting glory. How many people do you know that have survived cancer seven times? And yet she's here. And you know what she's doing? She's not sitting back, oh, woe is me. No, if Calvary wouldn't request prayer for her, you probably wouldn't even know she's there because she's just quiet, she's reserved, and Paul there testifies for her most of the time. But you know what? She's glorying. She's showing us that it don't matter what happens, if it's 8, 9, 10, 12, 14 times that I've got cancer, I'm still going to be in church if I can be here. I'm still going to praise Him because I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And if God chooses not to take diabetes away from me, but I would keep the anointing of God, I'll keep the anointing of God. Hallelujah! I'll keep the anointing of God because you know one of these days, as Marshall already gladly said, we're going to sit around the marriage supper of the Lamb, and when I get to the pearly gates of the city, the insulin pump will stay outside, the diabetes will stay outside, and I'll have a brand new body. Hallelujah! And I will be healed. Hallelujah. That goes back to the promise. By His stripes, we are healed. And even though your healing may not come on this earth, when you get to heaven, you will be healed. Hallelujah. Sometimes He doesn't heal for you to see your need of a Savior. As Billy already mentioned, if he was never diagnosed with cancer, he would not have accepted the Lord as his Savior. My father-in-law, if he would have not come down with cancer, he would have never realized that he needed a Savior. And sometimes, He allows those things to happen. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness. He was long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is His will that every single one of you are saved. But listen to me. Sometimes it's not His will that all of us are healed. I know it's hard to swallow. But listen. It's part of God's divine providence. Why does He do it? I don't know. Why does He choose to heal Billy instantaneously and Todd have to go through a long process to get there? They're both healed. But why didn't He do it the same way? Here's why. He did it in His way, in His time, for His glory. Why did He wait to come to Lazarus? A lot of people have been healed from their sickness, but not too many people raised from the dead. Why does He choose to wait till you're on your deathbed to restore you? Because people can look at it and say, when the doctors give up and say, there's no hope, we don't have no other help for you, and God raises you up, they can look at it and say, it was God and not the doctors. He heals you. Sometimes it is His will for us to remain sick. Because He knows we will trust Him and we'll appreciate what heaven will be.